Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
These are things you do not do, praise the Lord. They are killer tips, they were killer things, but today we're going to talk about some other killer things, amen. Killer things in our lives, relationships, families, and marriages. But we're not going to talk about killer things. We're going to talk about their antidote. In other words, an antidote is a medicine that counteracts a particular poison. And how many know that Proverbs 4:22 tells us that God's word is medicine? It says, "For his word is life unto those that find them, and health." That Hebrew word is actually medicine to all our flesh. Amen. And so we're going to be talking with everybody today, love, about some killer things and the antidote to those very things.
That's right.
And we thought that it was, you know, to see what we're not going to do, but we also go to find out there's things that other things in life that may creep up on us as men and women that we're not aware of. And today we want to talk about those things. Killer things are things that steal, kill, and destroy in our lives, relationships, families, and marriages. And since they come to steal, kill, and destroy, how many know that that sounds like something that Satan would do? Isn't that right? So this is why we're going to be talking about certain killer things, but we're going to be talking about their antidote as well. So even though we are going to be talking about things that will kill our relationships, whether that's things that kill in our lives, relationships, marriages, and families, we're also going to be talking about the answer to those things. But killer things actually originate from the source of Satan himself. In John 10:10, it says, "For the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy." So even though you know this, everybody say, "I know this." You may not know exactly what I'm getting ready to say concerning this. The word steal, kill, and destroy, when we realize that these killer things that come from Satan, when they come to steal, it actually means this. It's the word that we have for kleptomaniac. Amen. And a kleptomaniac is a person that is a pickpocket. Okay? This is what the word steal means. In other words, when we're saying, or when Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, Satan, comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives, and these killer things that we're about to talk about in our lives, come to actually rob us of God's intended blessing without us even knowing it. Satan is slick. He wants to, so to speak, pick your pocket without even you knowing this. In other words, us getting involved in things that would actually cause him to be able to steal the blessing of God from our lives before that we even realize that the blessing is missing. Secondly, it's the word kill. And everybody has a particular idea of what the word kill means, and that could be right, but in context, this is a word that's really very different in the Greek than just what we would just think kill is. It is the word that is used for a sacrifice. And what this means is our own wrong actions will cause us to sacrifice, or in other words, we can have self-sabotaging behavior in our life in such a way that what we do actually causes us to sacrifice, or give up, or forfeit the blessings of God and the best that God has prepared for our lives. And that's ultimately what Satan wants to do. He wants to rip us off. He wants to pick our pocket. But he also wants us to have self-sabotaging behavior. This is what the word the word steal, kill actually mean, and then last but not least, the word destroy. Make no mistake about it. Satan works to destroy anything that is good and healthy in our lives, ultimately to ruin our lives, to destroy it, as Jesus said. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And so the reason we're talking about this to everybody is because 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says that tells us to not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And this word device means his schemes, his plans. Amen.
You know, the enemy, when he plays his games, he plays his game to win. And he, when he does it, he doesn't want you to realize that he's the one behind it. He wants you to blame yourself, blame others, blame your neighbors, blame your children, blame your husband, blame your wife. That's the way he does it.
Yep, blame game all the way from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So that's really good. And there are a number of killer things. In other words, killer things that operate from Satan in our lives to come to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to recognize that they are, because we're not ignorant of his devices. And then we need to understand the antidote behind them. Well, it tells us that he does have devices or schemes or plans, ways to trick us, to steal, kill, and destroy. Right. Some of those things are as simple but as dangerous as unforgiveness. You know, there's people today that even believers that give no thought to the thief of unforgiveness. But what we need to understand that Jesus warned about this very danger in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. He says, if you're unwilling to forgive, I can't forgive you. And so things like unforgiveness, things like offense, things like the book of Hebrews tells us that through offense, that the root of bitterness spring up and not only defile our own selves, our own lives, but cause the lives of others to be defiled as well. Another killer thing, love, that many times people this overlook, they read the fourth chapter of Ephesians. How many in here have ever read the fourth chapter of Ephesians? Hands go up here everywhere. But did you forget that the Bible had to remind us to not to be liars and stealers anymore once we get born again?
That's right.
You know why? Because they are killer things.
Right.
In our lives. And it tells us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, because these are some of the devices that Satan will use against even the people of God to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. And our lives aren't fruitful because
That's
of
right.
it.
You know, especially in a marriage, we have to, as husband and wives, we need to learn to be quick to forgive one another.
Yeah.
Quick to forgive, quick to repent, and quick to believe the best about each other. Even though you don't feel like it, it's not about a feeling. It's all about a decision that you choose to do the Word of God.
It's an act of your will.
It is.
And so, in other words, what you're saying is, if we're going to be quick to forgive, we have to be quick to forgive one another. Mm-hmm. But we also have to be quick to repent. We not only ask each other to forgive us,
right.
but we also ask God to forgive. Like for me, I would have to say, love, would you please forgive me for that? But I would also ask the Father to forgive me for treating his daughter wrong. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she's my wife, she is my wife, but she's also God's daughter.
That's right.
And I have to realize that if I do these things, that closes the door on the devil. Remember, the Bible says, give no place, give place to the devil. There in Ephesians chapter
and people
4,
get hung,
verse 27.
Yeah, and people really get hung up on this one. They can forgive somebody else, but they can't forgive themselves.
Yeah.
You need to learn to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Got to.
You got to.
Yes.
And so, it's not good taste to not to forgive yourself, because you're saying that you're unwilling to do something that God asked you to do.
That's right.
You're not being humble. You're being stupid.
Come on.
Okay?
And it doesn't matter how many times you ask forgiveness, at least do it. Ask forgiveness. Jesus, when he was talking with his disciples, he said, Lord, how many times do I forgive my brother? Seven times? He said, no! 70 times 7, 490. Well, don't feel bad if you do it more than once in a day if you ask your mate to forgive you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Amen.
So quick to forgive, quick to repent, and quick to believe. That's really important. Not only do we believe that God forgives us and we forgive ourselves, but we also believe our spouse forgives us as well.
That's right.
I'm not moved by her response. I'm moved by my belief.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to do. We have to believe God. And when you do that, you leave that in the hands of God.
That's right.
God will deal with your spouse, but you have to do what's right, because you have to close the door to the devil, lest Satan get an advantage of us.
The quicker, the better.
Yeah.
The quicker, the better.
Yeah, you don't wait.
The more you harbor that unforgiveness and you hold that grudge, that resentment, I'm telling you, it's eating on you. It's building on the inside of you.
And this is why the scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You don't wait and see who can give their partner the cold shoulder, the hold out. Because I can tell you, all that monster of unforgiveness is going to do is grow, and it's going to affect you.
Yeah.
Amen. You're not going to be buttered by it. You're going to be bittered by it.
Uh-oh.
And so you have to close the door on that. And, you know, a lot of times we get the thoughts here that this is only for, like, married couples. But how many teenagers we have in here today? Let me see the hands.
On.
There's a few teenagers in here today. Amen. And some wannabe teenagers, praise the Lord, as well. But you know what? This is talking to you as well, because we think that we have to be a certain age to do the Word of God. No, as long as you understand what the Word of God says, it's for every age. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you would say, well, you know, they're not treating me right, so I'm not going to treat them right. Wrong answer.
Right.
That's because right. You are giving place to the devil.
Yes, you
now,
are.
You're once again, you're not responsible for their actions, but you are responsible for your actions.
Yeah.
And if you're going to move forward and not allow killer things to steal, kill, or destroy in your life, you're going to have to forgive and respond positively. It doesn't mean when you forgive a person that you agree with them. You're not saying what they did is right.
No.
You're saying you're bigger than the wrong they wronged you with, or the things that are wrong. You're doing what is right.
That's right.
Doing what is right is always right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to have to forgive. Now, let's move on to the next big killer thing that we're going to talk about today. And Pastor Debbie, actually, I have four of these, but we've agreed upon that if we don't get to all four, that oh well, praise the Lord. Amen. Because what's important is we going where the Lord would want us to go here. So we want to begin on this next part about this. The killer things that we want to, or the killer thing we want to talk about, want to begin with our concept of God. Our concept of God can be a killer, and I'll explain that. You say, what do you mean your concept of God or our concept of God? Our concept of God can obviously be a killer thing. Let me explain. Because Satan works tirelessly here to distort our concept of God, because
yes,
we will never be able to get any closer to God than our concept of God will allow.
It's true.
Mm. There's a holy hush over the congregation today. It's either nobody's paying attention or I just stepped on everybody's toes. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I hear all you online today. Matter of fact, give me some comments out there today. Amen. We are so appreciative to every person online. We like to get those comments, like to see that and the interaction, and I'll able to check them out later. But nonetheless, this, just for everybody in house today, this is our interactive sermon. Amen. Or message. In other words, that it's all right to say amen. If you can't say amen, you can say oh me. Praise the Lord. So we'll never get any closer to God than our concept of God will allow. What do I mean, our concept of God? How many know that it would be a killer thing in your life not to have a relationship with God and die and go to hell? No one wants to talk about
that. We're talking about a living, vibrant relationship.
Amen.
Let's make it clear. Let's make it plain.
Yeah.
Living, vibrant.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not something watered down or lukewarm or, you know.
Hit and miss, or I'll get to him when I get to him. No.
You're talking about making him what we sang about this morning, our first love. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Pursuing.
Exactly. And so we'll never get any closer to God than our concept of God will allow. So our concept of God can be a killer thing in our life. So let's talk about the word concept. I'm going to take a few moments to break the word concept down to give us a definition, several definitions. The word concept means an object conceived by the mind, an idea or a mental picture of something or someone. So all of us, in a conceptual thought, we have a particular way that we view something. In this case, God Himself. In other words, what I'm saying is we all have our own idea about God. Right or wrong, we've come up with our own version of God. The only way we can have the true version of God is by knowing His love letter, because this is Him talking to us. Everything else is our own version of God. Everything else is our own idea. Everything else is something conceived by our own reason, our own mind, or a mental picture of how we interpret God. How many know your own concept of God, based upon that definition, what the word concept means, could be totally inaccurate? As a matter of fact, I will tell you, if your concept of God is something other than words that reflect what He said about Himself, you have the wrong concept of God. Why that is a killer thing is because that will keep you from coming and receiving from God. And if I were your enemy, and your number one enemy is Satan, not your pastor, I'm not your enemy, I'm your friend. If I were your enemy, I would do whatever I could do to keep you separated from the one that really loves you, and the one that really loves you is Almighty God.
That's right.
I would do that was I would paint a wrong concept, a wrong picture of Almighty God. The word concept means, listen, an abstract idea. You know what? The word abstract means a thought or an idea with no concrete evidence. Mm. A thought or idea with no concrete evidence. There's a lot of people that's got abstract ideas. It's called evolution is one of them. Amen. Their own abstract idea. It means a general notion. The word concept means a general notion. That means it's something that's vague or unclear. It means made up, imaginary. It means there's no absolute. In other words, situational ethics, or, you know, whatever's convenient, amen. Or in today's modern thinking, progressive thinking, that there's no absolute, so we can just change. Whatever's convenient for me will be God or my interpretation of God. But how many know that's a killer thing?
That's right.
That's a killer thing. And we must understand that. The word concept means an idea or an invention to help sell something. Now this is, listen to me again, it means an idea or an invention to help sell something. And that is exactly what Satan does through concepts. He works to sell us his lies about God.
This is
why I say that we will never be able to get any closer to God than our concept of God will allow. Satan distorts our concept about God, he distorts our concept about who God really is, and what God really does. Amen. So let us tell you who God is and what he really does. Let's talk about a few things. I would do it really quick. Are you ready? Can you write quick? Yeah. Amen. John 10:10. Jesus said, you heard what Jesus said about Satan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He does that, number one, through the wrong concept of God. He tries to sell you, amen, something he's invented about God.
True.
To trick you to be against God or to push you away from God. Amen. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Amen. This is who really God is, and this is what he really does. He comes to give us life and life more abundantly. Psalms 119, verse 68 says this, you are good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. One translation says, God, you are good and doest only good.
Yes.
God only does good to us.
Come
Amen.
On.
James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, and whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So every good and perfect gift. And then in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it tells us this, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things? Everybody say good things.
Good things.
Good things. To him that asks him. So if you don't get anything other than this, God is good and the devil is bad. Come on, God is good and the devil's bad. Get that straight.
Yeah.
Because any other concept of God is a killer thing. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so we have to understand this. Satan works to sell you his lies about God. Amen. He's the one that will tell you that that's why you lost your loved one. He is the reason he needed another flower in heaven. That's a lie.
Yep.
He don't need another flower, and your loved one wasn't designed to be a flower in heaven. Satan tries to talk you out of things like this, God loving you. He wants to distort. He wants to sell you on the idea that God not only cannot love you, he hates you. And he doesn't hate you, he loves you.
That's right.
He talks you into the idea or this concept of that you have done so wrong that it's unable, God is unable to actually to forgive you. The truth is, so many of you in here today have had at some time, you've overcome that now by coming to a church like this, but there was times in your life where you were believing that God was unable to forgive you. If I am telling the truth, somebody shout amen. Amen. Satan works to try to convince you that God cannot save you. You have not only done something so wrong that God cannot forgive you, but he certainly would not save you. Amen. Or how about this? Your wrong concept of God, Satan works to tell you that that God will never heal a person like you because you are undeserving, unworthy. Well, let me ask you this question. Where does it tell you in the Bible that you receive anything from God based upon your worthiness? Nowhere. Matter of fact, it tells you exactly opposite. Everything we receive from comes from God by his grace through our faith. And his grace is his unmerited favor. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do whether we are worthy or not. Matter of fact, it is letting us know that we are so unworthy that it's only by his grace that we can actually get this. Amen. But the good news is, this is why we so need him, because God is a gracious God. He's a good God. And not only does he want us saved, he wants us healed. He wants to forgive us. He wants us to feel his love. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. The wrong concept of God, a word Satan uses to say things like this. He tries to talk people out of coming to church. I look around today, he talked quite a few people out of it. Now, I know that one reason why many people today is because of the weather threat and the different stuff. I get that. But I want us to know week in and week out, the average person Satan deals with about trying to talk them out about coming to church. I'm not even talking about unbelievers. He certainly works on the unbeliever not come to church. He says things like this. The things that they talk about there, no one on church is relevant because it's not up to time. I want you to know the Bible is up to time.
Yes,
matter of
is.
Fact, it's ahead of time. Yes, God said, yes, I'm going to tell you the end relevant. From the beginning. Our Bible is not up to just up to time. It's ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Amen. And Satan would try to make us think that it's a waste of time for us to come. But it's not a waste of time because that has been proven time and time again is where we get answers to questions, solutions to problems, and the help that we need. Can I get amen in here today? And so when it comes to the unbeliever, Satan is actually working overtime to distort our concept of God so that if he can do that, we'll never come to God. But he also works that on believers' life as well. Mm-hmm. So believers do not push in to God. And this is why the church's number one need is a renewed mind.
Yes.
If you want to know what the antidote to this problem is, what problem? Our concept of God, either for the good or the bad, will determine how close we get to God. So in other words, if we have the wrong concept of God, we'll never push into God and receive God's highest and his best. We will allow the lies of the enemy, the killer things, to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. But if we have the right concept of God, get a correct picture of God, we'll run to God. We can receive from God.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, the very first thing that Jesus asks us to do once we get born again, saved, is to renew our minds.
Yes.
And Brother Hagin made this statement. It always sticks with me. He says, your mind stays no more renewed than your hair stays combed.
Yes, very good.
It needs it every single day. Then I think about something else that Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, there are 1,000 things in the nucleus of a human heart that needs to be softened every single day. Mm. You think about that.
Yeah.
1,000 things. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. There are things that we don't even realize that's soaking in and trying to get in our hearts.
It's just like we have so many things that we grab a hold to us so often that just like our hands get calluses on them from holding certain things, repeating it over and over again, Satan interjects the wrong thoughts into things in our life that if we take hold to them, hear them, listen to them, give attention to them, it's like grabbing hold to them over and over again, and we get calloused in our spirits and our souls and in our spirits, amen.
Yeah.
And it rubs us the wrong way.
Yeah,
it desensitizes us. Mm-hmm. And it causes us to have the wrong concept of God because we have the wrong thought, wrong idea about God.
Yeah.
And our only answer is the Word of God.
That's
the only antidote is to know what the Word of God says about God and about any of the other matter. I know that's so simple, but it's so profound.
It's true.
And it comes through the renewing of our mind. The Bible tells us, let's read this together, Romans 12:2. Most of you know this, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word renew means to exchange your way of thinking for God's way of thinking. So let go of the wrong thoughts, because our number one problem is a thinking problem.
Yep.
Come on.
That's
our number one problem is our thoughts.
That's where the enemy starts.
That's where he thoughts. That's where he attacks our thought life.
That's right.
So it's a thinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because Satan knows if we can think wrong, we'll believe wrong. If we think and believe wrong, we'll talk wrong. If we think, believe, and talk wrong, we're going to act wrong. And those is the sequence, you've heard me say it many times, that brings destruction in our life. Yeah. Amen. It brings the killer things.
Yeah.
It brings the killer things. Well, if we want to stop that, then we have to reverse that. Mm-hmm. So we have to think the right thing. So we have to exchange, renew means to exchange our way of thinking for God's way of thinking.
Yes.
The Satan says, God will not forgive you. God's word says that he does forgive you.
Right.
He'd be merciful. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, I'll be merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Mm-hmm. The renewing of a mind says when the wrong thought comes, you find out what God's word says so that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Knowing the word of God is the will of God helps us to renew our mind so our lives are changed, our lives are transformed, and no longer the killer things are stealing, killing, and destroying in our lives.
Right. You know, renewing of the mind is an ongoing process. We never arrive.
Yep.
As long as we live on this earth, we're all in the process of renewing our minds.
Amen. So we all have a thinking problem. And you know what? A lot of times people will say, well, you know, I've got a drinking problem. I got this problem. I got problem. Why don't we just realize this? Your problem stems from wrong thinking. And when we determine that and we continue to do that, then we have to understand that we have what the Bible calls a sin problem. Okay? You don't got some disease. You got a sin problem. Okay, and call it what it is. Repent of it. Come to God, repent of it. Let God forgive you for it and give you the power to say no to it. Can I get amen? And it begins with a renewed mind. Mm-hmm. Listen, I got to live this the same way that you have to live it.
That's true.
And it begins and why with renewing our mind and realizing that we all have a thinking problem, mm-hmm. and a renewed mind is the answer because only the Word gives us the right concept of God. The truth is this, our concept of God, the right one, the truth about God, will affect the most important relationship that you need, one with God.
Yeah.
Because until you have the right concept of God, you won't come to God.
That's true.
Now, we could spend the rest of the time just talking about this. I think we should get somewhere else today too. But there's many examples in the Word of God that tell us this. If we do not think right about God, then we'll never come to Him. If we think He's against us, we won't come to Him. If we think He's won't forgive us, we won't come to Him. If we think He killed our loved one, we won't come to God. If we think something outside of what His Word says, then it's designed to cause us not to come to God. But why we need to have the right concept about God, the right one, and to know the truth about Him, because that will cause us, that will actually affect the most important relationship that we need. And the most important relationship you need is God, is one with God.
That's right.
Amen. And then from your relationship with God, that relationship will affect every other relationship you have in a positive way, because you'll learn to do things God's way. In other words, the reason our relationship is better, it's not perfect, but it's better, is because my concept of God tells me how to love you.
That's right.
It tells me how to behave, how to act, and it's not my way or the highway. It's actually God's way. It's not your way over my way. It's God's way. He calls the shot in our relationship. And it's from that relationship that we have with God that we treat one another better. It's that relationship I have with God that I can come to you and love you unconditionally. I can believe the best about you. I can pray for you. Yes. I can encourage you. Yes. It's from that relationship I have with God that inspires me to love you and treat you the way that you deserve because of the love that God has for you and has showed each of us in the Word of God, and it stems from my relationship, my concept of God, and my relationship with God, amen, will help feed every other relationship in the right way. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God.
You know, the old saying says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Let me say that again. Mm. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future.
Mm. So you want to go there, huh?
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. Associations, influences.
Friendships and relationships. Amen. Let's go there. Friendships and relationships can be a killer thing in our lives. It was designed to be the right thing. So we're going to give you the killer thing, but we're also to give you the antidote, the right thing. So let's talk about this. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 through 34.
Yes.
And we're going to read it from the Passion Translations today. It says, stop fooling yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, stop fooling yourself. Evil companions will corrupt good morals and character.
Yes.
Ooh. Come back to your right senses and awaken to what is right. Repent from your sinful ways.
Yeah.
For some have no knowledge of God's wonderful love. You should be ashamed that you make me write this way to you. Now notice, he's not even writing to sinners here. He's writing to church.
Yeah, believers.
He's writing to the church. He said, some of you in the church don't even have a knowledge of God, of God's wonderful love. And because of this, you need to repent. You need to come back to your right senses, awaken to what is right, stop being fooled, and realize that wrong relationships are affecting you, are being the killer things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's natural to say if wrong relationships can be killer things in your life, then right relationships can be the healthy things in life, or the things that feed into your life.
True.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, I like something that Mark Hankins said, you know, before. You know, Mark Hankins, everybody knows Mark Hankins. He said he used to bring, when he was young, he would bring, you know, different girlfriends home before he met Trina.
Oh, yeah.
And his mama was a Holy Ghost woman, praise God. And he would bring her, and he would always have to bring his girlfriend or the girl that he was dating over home so his parents could inspect them. Amen. How many know that ain't a bad idea today? Look at your neighbor and say, that really ain't old-fashioned. Look at your other neighbor and say, that's just common sense. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, here's, you know, he said he remembered one day that he brought this real sassy one over. She had a, you know, short dress on, and he was like, he said, when he picked her up, he's thinking, why does she have to wear that tonight to meet my mama? But anyway, and so the first thing when his mama set eyes on her, she started speaking in tongues, praise the Lord, and said, I plead the blood, amen. And she goes,
right.
and she looks at him a little later and said, what does that mean? Praise the Lord. And he said, never mind. And she had to end up telling Mark, you may get what you want, but you may not
want
what you eventually get. And I've had to tell more than one person this, that in relationships, you may get what you want, but you may not want what you get. So make sure the relationships that you go after are godly.
Yes,
and we
yes.
tell young people, you know, Pastor Debbie and I were the youth ministers here in this church for over 12 years. We ministered both to the youth and to the
singles
for
yeah.
many years. And here's one of the things that we were always confronted with our young people. They would say, you know, my boyfriend, my girlfriend. So I'm just asking, we ask them certain questions. Why are we seeing them if they're boyfriend? Now, I've realize if they can't drive, then it's hard for them to get to church, okay?
Yeah.
But then they would tell them the first thing that Pastor Debbie's going to ask them is, do you know if they're saved? Benny Brittany, am I telling you the truth? Praise the Lord. They remember some of that. Amen. They're in the very back today, yeah. Not because they just, you know, there's no cheap seats. That means that I can see him just as good as he can see me all the way in the back. Praise the Lord. They met each other by coming to church.
Ben,
praise
Brittany,
the Lord.
Laura. Yeah.
Laura, amen. Yeah. Praise God. So we would say, Pastor Debbie said, you know, do they know Jesus? Do they love God? Well, obviously, we want them to know Jesus, and we want them to know God. But here's what we were trying to get across to them, is that God loves them. But you're setting yourself up for some heartache and for some emotional ties that you don't need to be caught in, some emotional traps, some soul ties and different things. Mm-hmm. And we don't have time to go into all of that, but one of our famous sayings was, we just looked at them and just said, what, love?
If they're not for God, they're not for you.
If they're not for God, they're not for you.
Real simple.
You say, well, I think I can change them. Well,
wrong answer.
That's not what the Bible tells us.
That's right.
Okay? Now, it doesn't mean you can't be their friend. Show them the love of God. But you should realize if they're not for God, they're not for you.
Because
the Bible talks about being equally yoked. And I realize that's talking about in a relationship of a husband and wife. But you got to realize this, in all relationships.
From the start,
we should do it husband and wife, because there should be no sex outside of marriage.
That's right.
Amen. From the start, let's do it the right way. I realize that 90% of the world does it the wrong way. You might have done it the wrong way, but let's start doing it the right way.
Exactly.
Amen. Because the right way will help you. Yeah. Amen.
And save you from a lot of heartache.
Will keep you from the killer things.
That's right.
Amen. The breaking of the heart and all those things. And so we always would say, if they're not for God, they're not for you. Fine, bring them to a youth group, but don't be sitting there all up next to them or don't lead the person on and all those kind of things. Come on.
Right.
Let me tell you something, young lady. He wants to do more than hold your hand. In the day that we live in, it's not just the young man that wants to hold more than your hand.
That's
either.
It could true.
Be the, and I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying the flesh takes, love gives.
There you go.
And we have to learn these things, and sometimes we have to, and there's no better place than to learn them in church.
That's
and
right.
Parents, you're going to have to teach your children these things. You're going to have these talks with them.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I don't want to run them off. I don't want them. Listen, do the right thing. Amen. Praise God. Tell them, confront them. Now, there's a lot that we could say here, notice we need to keep going, because you said, show me your friends,
and I'll show you your future.
Mm-hmm. Now, you should write that down, because that's a big one. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Amen. Message translation says, you use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens another. Amen. Real friends, the ones that know and walk with God without compromise, are our antidote. Amen.
Yes,
real godly influences and friends is what we need. Mm-hmm. And one place we find them is in the
church,
not in a bar somewhere.
Come on. Because real friends will bring the best out in you.
That's right.
Not the worst, the best.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I didn't even go on the online services and talk about it, because we need to move on and all the different stuff. Well, watch out for the online services. Everything that glitters ain't gold.
That's right.
There's been more than one person that's had a broken heart from an online dating service.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Chris, I met my good thing on eHarmony. Well, I'm glad it worked out. Praise the Lord. And that is possible that it can. But it don't always work that way. Amen. So beware is all we're saying. A real friend, always remember this, a real friend is what, and that, and when we're saying this, we're not just talking about who you may try to date or marry. Amen. Right. We're just talking about we need godly friends. Heaven
exactly.
to know we all need godly
associations.
Friends. Associations. And don't be fooled, because evil companionship corrupts good manners. A real friend is one that can bring the best out in you.
Mm-hmm.
A real friend can bring the best out in you.
Not one that wants to help you compromise your walk with God.
Mm.
So, oh, come on, let's go to this R-rated movie. It won't hurt us. We've mm-hmm. heard those words before. We've seen that before. Come on, it won't hurt you. Let's go to this R-rated movie.
One that can speak truth and life to you, amen, and can pray for you. Amen. That's the kind of person we need.
That's the kind of association.
Amen. See, that's the antidote for the wrong type of association. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because the killer thing in our life could be the wrong association. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's talk about this last one in closing today. I think we have a few minutes. We may not be able to hit everything concerning it. Do you think we have time there, Lo?
We got, yes.
Okay, let's go ahead. You want to start, or you want me to start?
You start.
There's a last day assault against the home, the marriage, the family, and the children that the Scriptures warn us about. Can I get a amen? If we don't think so, then we will just turn no further than to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This tells us that there will be, in the last of the last days, an assault against the home, marriage, family, and children.
Yep.
That is the killer thing that Satan uses. And we're going to talk about briefly some of those antidotes as well, or tell you what the antidote of this. So listen, husband, listen, wife, listen, family member, listen, congregation. If we are living here today, all of us are going to be affected some way by what this portion of Scripture says, because Satan is going to use this in society to come against us with his killer things. Now, here's what it says. But you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce. Verse 2. People will be self-centered lovers of themselves and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. Boy, we have seen that. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Oh, their ears are a garbage can. So is their mouths. Slaves to their desires, they will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right. Oh boy, we see that. Brutal treachery. They will act without restraint, bigoted, and wrapped in the cloud of their own conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of a loving God. They will pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like these. Amen. And so it's very important that we understand this. Okay? And so where do you want to begin, love? Do you want me to give some of the antidote to this, or do you want to
go with
the antidote?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if we're going to really have the time on the other. So instead of making, turn there. I hope you're already there. I didn't turn there. I used my cheat notes, but I'm going to turn there right now. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, how many know Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to a young pastor, Timothy, about the last of the last days? Wake up, church. If you didn't know, we're living in the last days.
Last.
He said, as we are in the last of the last days, this is what society would look like. And these are some of the killer things that will actually destroy people's lives that are happening in this society. And that he is issuing, God is actually letting us know, there will be an assault against the home, marriage, family, and children. But I believe you, like me, as a man and as a woman, as a husband and a wife, as a father, a mother, as a man, a woman, girl, a boy, a person, a human being, we would want to not only know what these things, this assault that is coming, we would want to know the answer to the assault.
That's right.
And so today, I just want to give you, we want to, in closing today, we have listed the problem of what society will look like at the last days. But I also want to give you something that's more important. So what is the antidote? The antidote are the things I'm getting ready to talk about. So if this is the problem, then you and I, as a man or woman, as a husband or wife, as parents, as girls or boys, men and women, whoever we are in here, what we have to do is, if we're parents, we're going to have to teach our children. And for me, as a pastor, I have to do what we're doing today, teaching you to do exactly opposite of this is what is saying has happened today. So I have to address it from the exact opposite. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I have to tell you the answer to it. In other words, if the problem is that people are going to be self-centered, lovers of themselves, obsessed with money, it is my job as a pastor and your job as a person to learn to teach the people for yourself first and then the people that you have influence around and over as parents, your children, how to be generous, because that's the antidote to this problem.
So true.
We have to teach generosity. Yes. We have to learn to be generous, but we have to teach generosity. See, we cannot let the problems destroy us. What we have to do, and this is why Pastor David and I are talking to you about this today, because these are killer things that are destroying our society today.
Yep.
It is my job as a pastor to give you the antidote.
That's right.
And the antidote to self-centered behavior and lovers of themselves and obsessed with money is loving others and being generous.
Yeah.
And the way that we can actually love others is we can only first love others if we've only let God first love us, mm-hmm, and show us His own love.
True.
As we continue here today, and see, this is why when we have problems in the world, we have to know what the solution is. And I'm telling you, parents, the things I'm talking about today, and as parents or individuals, we need to write these answers down, and we need to understand that we have to focus on the answer, because we do have antidotes to this, because we're not to be caught up like the world. We're to live a different way. We're to live generous. You know why? Because that's living out loud. That's speaking. Your actions are speaking louder than words. When people see you acting like salt and light and not being hypocrites, that gets people's attention. No, you are not perfect, but wow, God sure appreciates if you learn to start taking control of yourself first.
That's right.
Amen. And so it says, it goes on, it says, they will boast great things as they strut around in the arrogant pride and mock all that is right. Well, what does that mean? You're going to have to teach and teach humility, yeah, and show what a true humble life looks like. Humbleness is strength of
That's
character.
Right.
It's not weakness. It's not being pushed over, because God exalts the humble.
Yes.
He gives grace to the humble. And that grace is supernatural strength to do in and of yourself what you could not do in yourself of your own.
Right.
Amen. It's supernatural strength, right, and power. Amen. For us to act in humility instead of pride. Amen. And like we know it all.
Mm.
I know it's really quiet in here today. Praise the Lord. But these, and it should be, because the killer things are destroying, these are the things that are destroying us. We're getting them. If we wrote all those things down on a whiteboard in here today, our object is to erase them from our life. And I'm showing you how.
That's right.
Now, it's easier said than done. We keep on. And they will ignore their own families. That's why families, husbands, wives, parents, you need to have Bible reading. You need to lead in prayer. You need to have times of those things in your home and see, you know, that really the number one issue is the men leading that.
That's right, fathers.
Amen.
You know, statistics say even up to this very day that the man in the home is the one that makes the biggest impact on the family.
Amen.
The children are going to always look towards their daddy and what their daddy did do or didn't do.
It affects them spiritually. God designed it that way.
Oh, it does. I remember it with mine as a little teeny thing. And Dad taking us in my brother's room. We all get on our knees, get around the bed. And he would pray. We would pray together as a family. I never forgot those things. Yeah. The spiritual things you never forget.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It goes on and says, they will be ungrateful and ungodly. Well, in my footnotes, it says here, the Greek says, rejectors of God's grace. So to turn the ungratefulness part around, the ungodly, it means you teach them to be obedient. Mm-hmm. You teach thankfulness. You teach godliness. You teach receiving and giving of grace. In other words, you are gracious to one another. Instead of rejecting the power and the grace of God and giving that to others, not only do you receive it, but you are gracious to others. Mm-hmm. You're giving that to others. You're forgiving. You're kind. You're gracious. Amen.
Generous.
All these things that we talked about.
Yes.
And you teach them to be thankful, to be godly. Amen. To be obedient.
That's right.
Praise God. To be holy. Praise the Lord. It goes on and says, they will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. That means that instead of talking about everyone, you become lovers, lifters, and blessers with gracious words to others.
Yes.
I said we learned to do that. Is that any way to talk to your sister? Well, no, sir. Then apologize. What should you have said? Coach them. Teach them. Train them. And don't get tired of doing it. Praise the Lord. Oh, we must move on. Slaves to their desires, they will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good. In other words, how about teaching people to be unselfish and lovers of God and right.
Yeah.
Lovers of God and right. You have to teach. You can teach that. Mm-hmm. To be a lover of God. The first way is you model that.
That's right.
With brutal treachery, they will act without resistance, bigoted and wrapped in clouds of their own conceit. In other words, you model a self-controlled life. You teach them to be self-controlled, and that begins with the way they think. You teach them to be impartial, amen, and fair. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It says, and they will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than pleasures of loving God. In other words, you teach God and His will you put first. You put, just like we sang today, that you make Him first. He's that first love. You teach what that looks like. And you make sure that is modeled, and you help them put God first in their life. Goes on and says, and they'll pretend to have respect for God. Pretend. Well, we need to take the mask off and be without hypocrisy. Come on. And it says, but in reality, it wants nothing to do with the power of God. Let me tell you something. People that just think a little dab would do you, in these last days, a little dab will not do you. You need, and I need, the power of God. And we need to be desirous of the power of God in our lives. For it says, and they, it says, for stay away from people like this. Amen. And so we're going to stop right there. And it doesn't mean that you cannot have conversations with people like this, but it just means what's upon their lives will get on you if you're not strong enough to what's on you get off on them. That's what God wants. Yeah. What's on you to get off on them.
True.
And these are some of the killer things that actually happen in lives, and that were designed to destroy lives, but not just killer things, the antidote to them. Now, today, I realize that this may be a stronger word. Everybody just wants to run around the church and get happy. But I can tell you, if you learn to do this from the start, your life will go in the right direction, and the households that are coming under attack so grievously in this end of time will not be a train wreck waiting to happen. Right. Parents, I want to encourage you in here today. You cannot control the total outcome of your children's lives. Sometimes you can do everything just right. They still have a choice. They still have free will. But what it's our job is to coach them as long as you have them under your roof, to coach them and teach them and train them. Amen. To show them the way because you want the best for them. Communicate it in a way which makes God desires, and show both from your lifestyle and examples from the Word of God where if you do it God's way, or if you don't do it God's way, what the result will be. Amen. You know, I think about sometimes, how many of you work in the shipyard? Okay? Or worked in the shipyard a number of times. What is one of the main streets that had prostitution on it? Which one? It was a pile of them, probably.
35th,
okay. Well, what if, just say for instance, I know this is not a popular situation, but just case in point. What if a mom and dad mom was picking up their husband, and they got off one of those gates, and you had a young child with you, and the child is looking at all the prostitutes, and they say, "What's that? Are we to just ignore that? Or are we to use that a coachable, teacher trainable moment?" Possibly, depending upon their age, it should, you know, let me give you a hypothetical situation. There's a young, maybe it's an 8 or 9 year old boy in the car with mama, and he's just oblivious to it. Probably at 8 or 9 now, he's not oblivious to it. But let's say he is. And the mother just says, "You know what? This is good. That's a good question for your daddy. Save that for your daddy when he comes in the car. Praise the Lord. Amen." That's a good. And look at your husband and say, "That was a good answer. Praise the Lord." Well, you're not trying to avoid it, but maybe. So what I'm saying is, you would coach. A good dad would coach, and it wouldn't just say what they are, but show why that would be dangerous to their life. You could give biblical illustrations or examples from the Word of God, people's lives that it costed them dearly for making that kind of mistake, or what the Scriptures say repeatedly in the book of Proverbs and calls it, how not to be wise, and the price that it cost us. Amen, that sin would in our lives. These are coachable, teachable, trainable moments that come in our lives, and we have to be prepared. What is the antidote? The antidote is not to not accept our responsibility or to bury our head in the sand. Our antidote is to know what the Word of God says and begin to be able to communicate it with other people. Amen. Praise God. We hope this has helped today. Amen. Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, "That was really tight, but it was right." Praise the Lord. Praise God. It was tight, but right. Love, I want to stand for a moment. Will you stand with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Come on, Brother Ryan. That just let everybody know. Amen. What did it let everybody know? Amen. Well, we're getting to close to the end of the service. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Today, in closing, love, I don't know if there's, you want me to just go ahead or do you have, you want me to go ahead? Okay. Today, there's something that I have from the Lord, that first of all, before we do what I normally do and love to do, and that's talking about people coming to Christ and your relationship with Christ. I have something I don't normally do, but I have a word from the Lord, and it's, you can play around. It's fine. It's for, and it could be for more than one, and it is a warning. It's a warning about stealing. It's a warning about getting a first job or a job as a younger person, and Satan has come and has tempted you to be a thief. And he can use many things in our lives. Bad examples, poor upbringing, us thinking lower of ourselves, which he's always really good at. All the hurts that have accumulated, but there's no excuse for being a thief. There is, and I would never call the person out or this, but I know it by the Spirit, and it could be, I realize this, it could be more than one person. I know this, I'm warning you because God is warning you, because it's a setup for you to fail and to fall and to wreck your life and take you in a path that your life was not designed to go. It's a simple warning because God loves you. And see, I'm not calling anyone in particular out. I wouldn't do that. But I'm calling a word of knowledge out by the Spirit of God, which many of you know I don't normally do it like this. But there is, I'm reminded of that very thing. And God wants you to know he loves you enough. If you have, repent. He'll forgive you and stop it. But cut it off. Cut it off. Repent. Stop it, because it was designed to destroy your life. It's never right to do wrong. It is only right to do right. And God loves you. Now, so we're going to close. We'll move on. We'll close with this. How many people, don't raise your hand yet.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.